Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Liberty's First Crisis, Adams, Jefferson, and the Misfits Who Saved Free Speech by Charles Slack, revisits a formative struggle over speech and political opposition in the early United States. Set in the tense years after independence, the book follows how the new republic, anxious about foreign threats and internal division, tested its own commitments through the Alien and Sedition Acts. Slack frames the conflict not only as a clash between towering figures like John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, but also as a story shaped by printers, pamphleteers, immigrant activists, and lawyers who risked prosecution to keep dissent alive. The narrative highlights how legal pressure, partisan newspapers, and public agitation forced Americans to decide whether Republican government could tolerate harsh criticism of leaders. By focusing on real cases and the people caught in them, the book shows free expression as something built through controversy, courage, and political organizing rather than guaranteed from the start. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a young republic collides with fear and faction. Slack presents the 1790s as an era when the United States was politically independent yet institutionally fragile. International conflict and domestic factionalism created a climate of suspicion that made limits on speech seem, to some leaders, like common sense self-defense. The Federalist Party, associated with John Adams, worried that the French Revolution and European wars could spill into American politics through radical societies, foreign-born residents, and an aggressive partisan press. Meanwhile, Jeffersonian Republicans saw the same environment as proof that centralized power would expand unless checked by public criticism and elections. The book emphasizes that the central issue was not abstract philosophy alone, but the practical question of whether a government without a king could still behave like one when challenged. Slack traces how rumor, newspaper attacks, and partisan mobilization escalated tensions until legislation became a tool for managing political threats. The resulting crisis reveals a core paradox: the founders valued liberty yet feared instability, and the nation had to learn, through conflict, what it would permit in the name of security. This context helps readers understand why free speech debates have often been most intense when leaders believe the country is at risk. Secondly, the Alien and Sedition Acts as a stress test for constitutional liberty. A major thread of the book is how the Alien and Sedition Acts turn political disagreement into prosecutable conduct. Slack explains the logic supporters use the government needed the power to manage foreigners deemed dangerous and to curb writings that could weaken public confidence during a volatile period. Opponents argue that these measures violated basic constitutional principles, punishing citizens for criticizing officials and converting party competition into a legal hazard. The sedition provisions in particular made the press and opposition speakers vulnerable to federal prosecution, creating a chilling effect even beyond those formally charged. Slack treats the laws as more than historical curiosities; they are portrayed as a defining moment when Americans had to interpret the First Amendment in practice. The book connects legislative intent, enforcement patterns, and political outcomes, showing how the machinery of government can be directed at ideas as well as actions. By highlighting how legal ambiguity and partisan motives intersected, Slack illustrates that civil liberties often depend on norms and restraint, not only on constitutional text. The episode becomes a vivid example of how easily governments can justify restrictions, and how difficult it is to draw a line between protecting the state and suppressing dissent. Thirdly, printers, pamphleteers, and outsiders who took the risks, Slack gives significant attention to the lesser-known figures who bore the immediate costs of the crackdown. In his telling, free speech was defended not only by celebrated statesmen, but also by contentious editors, immigrant activists, and political organizers who operated at the edges of respectability. These people often lacked the insulation that wealth or office provided, yet they kept publishing, speaking, and agitating when the consequences could include arrest, trial, or financial ruin. The book shows how the early American information ecosystem worked. Newspapers served as party organs, editorial pages functioned as political battlegrounds, and personal reputations were constantly contested in print. Slack also explores how the government used prosecutions to signal power and to discourage broader resistance, making individual defendants examples to the public. Against that pressure, the persistence of these misfits helped normalize the idea that criticism of leaders is not treason. By focusing on the human stakes, Slack makes the crisis feel less like a distant constitutional debate and more like a lived struggle over who gets to participate in politics. Readers see how freedom of expression is protected when ordinary actors keep using it, even when doing so is unpopular. Fourthly, Adams, Jefferson, and the political strategy behind principles. The book frames John Adams and Thomas Jefferson as symbols of competing visions, while also treating them as politicians navigating real incentives. Adams appears within a Federalist coalition that believed strong national authority was necessary to preserve the Republic, yet that same strength could be turned toward suppressing opposition. Jefferson and his allies emerge as defenders of dissent, but Slack also highlights how their resistance was organized as a political campaign, using public outrage to build an electoral alternative. Rather than depicting a simple morality play, Slack illustrates how ideals and strategy intertwine. Leaders justify actions through principle, but they also respond to party pressure, personal rivalries, and fears about losing control. The crisis becomes a case study in how constitutional meaning is shaped by political competition. Slack shows that the battle over speech was inseparable from the struggle to define legitimate opposition in a republic. If criticism could be criminal, then elections could cease to function as accountability. If criticism was protected, then leaders had to endure public hostility as part of the job. By analyzing both Men in Motion, the book helps readers understand that civil liberties can advance through partisan conflict as well as through philosophical consensus. Lastly, Lasting Lessons on Dissent, Security, and Democratic Culture, Slack uses the episode to illuminate how free speech became an American habit rather than a settled guarantee. One lesson is institutional legal tools meant for emergency conditions can be redirected toward partisan advantage, and once deployed, they are hard to contain. Another lesson is cultural tolerance for harsh criticism is not automatic, even among people who endorse liberty in theory. The book suggests that the ability to criticize leaders depends on a public willing to defend the right of opponents to speak, even when the content feels insulting or destabilizing. Slack also points to the importance of civic infrastructure such as an independent press, active political societies, and lawyers and juries willing to resist intimidation. The story underscores how backlash can reshape policy, prosecutions can energize opposition, expose overreach, and ultimately push voters to reject suppression. At the same time, Slack implies that victories are not permanent. Each generation faces new versions of the same trade-off between order and openness. By situating free speech in a messy early crisis, the book encourages readers to view the First Amendment as a living practice supported by participation, skepticism of power, and vigilance during moments of fear. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who enjoy narrative history, early American politics, and practical constitutional questions, as well as anyone interested in how free speech works when it is unpopular. Students and general readers will find value in seeing the First Amendment not as a finished promise, but as a principle tested by prosecutions, partisan pressure, and public anxiety. The benefit is contemporary as much as historical. Slack shows how quickly security fears can narrow the space for dissent, and how resilient speech protections depend on citizens who keep speaking, publishing, organizing, and voting, even when penalties are real. That perspective can sharpen a reader's judgment about modern debates over misinformation, national security, and political retaliation, compared with many books that treat the founding era primarily through famous founders. This one stands out by elevating the printers and outsiders who carried the risk, and by connecting legal conflict to everyday political life. It is worth buying if you want a focused, case-driven account of how democratic norms are built, and why tolerating sharp criticism is not a weakness, but a requirement for accountable government. If you would like to support Charles Slack, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.